The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Ty Rushing with the Northwest Iowa Review in Sheldon. Ty, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
I know last Tuesday, you and Senator Duckworth had penned a letter, just asking the USDA for assistance with renewable fuels in that sector. I mean, we had a plant that closed here that announced they're idling that same day you guys sent out that letter. And I guess I just wanted to know if you made any headway with Purdue on that.
No, we have not. There's a couple things we've asked for. One, for feedstock, some sort of help through the Commodity Credit Corporation. That was something I was going to try to get on the CARES Act, except for the fact that our rationale was that if the oil companies got some help, we were going to get parity for ethanol. And there was nothing included for petroleum. So consequently, we didn't get anything for that. The second thing is there's two more things. Number one, the second one would be to help E15 pumps. There was a program in the Obama administration that's been, it's come up again with some money for helping filling stations putting in E15 pumps so we get more distribution of it. And then the third thing is a constant battle we have with EPA on FSA and to make sure they follow the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. But to your answer to the question, do we have a answer on that? No, we don't. But Caitlin's listening, and if Caitlin finds out from my staff that we got an answer within the last 2 days, we could get you an update on it, but I don't have any more of an update now.
Okay, no, I appreciate it. With the renewable sector, like, I mean, obviously it's taken a lot of blows, you know, between the waivers, you know, we had the...
Can you get closer to the microphone?
Oh, I'm sorry. I said with the renewable sector, you know, we've taken a lot of blows in the last couple of years with the weather and then just, you know, the ag economy itself being down. And then now, of course, with the pandemic and all the trickle-down effects it's having, what is your vision or how do you see it coming out once everything is kind of clear of this?
Well, if we get the economy back up and running again and you get people working and they're eating and you get them driving their cars and ethanol is back producing, we won't have $2.85 corn like we do at New Hartford and Shell Rock where we sell. But that's pretty basic to any segment of the economy, just not agriculture. In the meantime, then don't forget the additional $25 billion we got the Commodity Credit Corporation to help out agriculture like we have in the past. And we're hoping that as China gets back up and running again, that they're going to keep their promise to buy a certain amount of agriculture products, $40 to $50 billion. And according to the president last week, he kind of feels like they're keeping their promise to do that. You get reports from the private sector, the commercial market, that China's back in the market, but their economy's not very well either.
Okay. You mentioned restaurants, and it kind of made me think about protecting the food supply. Kind of us here in Northwest Iowa, up in Sioux Falls at the pork plant, the Smithfield plant, where 300 workers tested positive for the coronavirus, and they're going to shut that down indefinitely. And, you know, Smithfield is saying that's going to dramatically impact the food supply here. And, you know, we have a lot of plants, you know, like food processing plants in this region. I guess, what do you think we can do to protect the nation's food supply better?
Can you repeat that, Caitlin?
Yeah, he was talking about how a lot of the meat processing plants are closing down due to the coronavirus, and so he's wondering how we can protect those plants and the food supply.
Well, you know, if it was hospitals and personnel, you can call in the Army Corps of Engineers to do it like they did in New York and Detroit and Chicago and New Orleans. But they don't, government doesn't have the capability of putting up a processing plant in 2 or 3 days and hiring the people, providing the people to do it. So the best I know is we do what we can through the Commodity Credit Corporation to protect the producers with additional income. But when there's a pretty smooth supply chain from sow producing a pig to your mouth, and it's got to run pretty smoothly, and plants in Columbus Junction and Tama closed down, and there's probably plants in other states closed down, then what I need to know that I don't have that information is how much excess capacity is there in other plants to keep that going? Or do you raise pigs instead of slaughter them at 260 pounds, you keep them around and till they get to be 300 pounds, and then maybe you can slaughter them and maybe you can't. I can't answer that question. And then if other people had that capacity, the hope that I would have is that with food banks running short of food, as you see on television every day, and the federal government's in a position to buy excess surplus, we need it right now. You know, about 60% of the food in America is not consumed at the table in our homes. It's consumed away from the home. And those are all shut down now. And maybe the federal government can fill in that way. But I don't have an absolute answer, and I don't know whether other people do, because we've had a smooth running operation from pig being born till your mouth, and nobody's ever questioned that it would ever be stopped the way it is now in Tama and Muscatine or Columbus Junction and where else in the United States, I don't know.
Okay, and this will be have to be the last question, Ty.
Okay, so Senator, I know for you, you know, like pharmaceutical pricing has always kind of like been something that you stood your ground on and defended, you know, kind of stood up for folks for. I guess if the pharmaceutical companies do develop a coronavirus vaccine, do you hope that they make this at a, like they make it available at an affordable price?
Well, not just that drug, because I don't know how that would be different than other drugs people might be taking. There's probably a medical answer to what I just said. I don't have that answer. So I'm going to assume that we tackle the high price of drugs the same way that and have it apply the same way to any vaccines that come out of the laboratories now and the research centers now dealing with the virus. And that would be the Grassley right or the Grassley Wyden bill that would put a year over year increase on prescription drugs at the CPI, which last year would have been 2%, instead of the 5 to 10% increases in price of drugs that we had January 1st of this year. Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Ty, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.